This is the Best of the Adam Gold Show podcast, brought to you by Coach Pete at Capital Financial Advisory Group. Visit us at capitalfinancialusa.com. This is the Adam Gold Show.
We poured one out for the final Packer and Durham show on the ACC Network. Long relationship with Wes Durham. And now Wes is off doing games, hanging out with Roddy Jones. And Mark Packer will start ACC PM on the ACC Network, 4 to 7 p.m. August 22nd is the first show, and Mark Packer joins us on the Adam Gold Show. It says here in the release that your co-host will be named at a later date. I thought your co-host was just Chester and Fuller.
Well, they're actually the star. I mean, let's be honest. I mean, I told Wes before we got started with Packer and Durham 3 years ago, I said, yeah, I don't know if you're a dog person. He said, well, I got Clifford the cat. I said, that's all fine and good. Clifford's back in Georgia. But when you walk into that basement, you better understand your role. That anybody that turned on the television in the morning or listened to us on radio, the only reason that they're dialed in is because of Chester and Fuller, and we are the sidekick. So that is absolutely the truth. And whoever the co-host is with the next show with ACCPM, I don't know the answer to that, but it'll be a great deal of fun, and it all gets started 1 month from today.
I like the fact that you're staying in the basement,
and
I like the fact that Chester and Fuller are still going to be part of the crew. Look, I'm a dog guy. Dogs have to be a part of it.
Well, without a doubt. I mean, yeah, and I cannot tell you, Adam, how many people will come up and go, hey, man, how's Chester doing? How's Fuller? I get emails and texts from people still since we said adios with the morning show a couple weeks ago, how the boys doing? And I mean, it's not like how's Wes doing or how you feeling, or it's got nothing to do with us. It's all about Chester and Fuller. So again, as long as you know your role, it's like any good marriage. As long as you know your role, you can make it work. And so that's the game plan.
Mark Packer, ACC PM, which will debut on August 22nd, 4 to 7 on the ACC Network. I do want to talk football here. But let's spend like 2 minutes on what distracted us from actual football for the last, I mean, it's more than the last 2 days, because we've been talking about it really for the last 3 weeks. But what are your thoughts on where the ACC is as we get now, 5 weeks away from the start of the season?
Well, it's a fascinating time. I mean, let's be honest. We all have a front row seat in the media to watch this transition, which whatever becomes of college athletics. And it wasn't just because of what USC and UCLA did a couple of weeks ago. It wasn't because of what Texas and Oklahoma did a year ago while the SEC media days are taking place. This whole transformation has been now going on with the COVID, the name, image, and likeness, the transfer portal, the money grab, television entities. I mean, it's a fascinating time. The power of the student athlete, social issues. I mean, you name it. It's like the ultimate soap opera. So it's such a moving target, Adam, that I'm not sure that you can just throw the dart and say, hey, there's the solution for the ACC or the Big 12 or the Pac-12 or what's the SEC going to do next. There's so many moving parts here. And I have stated for the last, 5 or 6 years doing the radio shows on Sirius XM that I just thought we were kind of on the fast track inevitably of having anywhere from 50 to 60 teams play big boy college football. And, you know, for all of us that are old enough, and you and I fall into the same category, yep, you know, growing up with the ACC or the Big East or the SEC or the Big Ten or wherever you were from, I think inevitably that we won't remember that. It'll be like, hey, here's the 50 or 60 teams that are playing. We're going to divvy it up in the regions, and, you know, we'll have an expanded playoff. That's inevitable too. That's going to happen. There's just too much money at stake. So, you know, enjoy it for what it's worth. But if you're an old school person who says, I love the ACC when we had 8 teams, that day is over. And as I've said many times before, for people that are looking to put the genie back in the bottle, forget that. We don't even know where the bottle is, much less the genie. So it's a new time. It's a new era. Commissioner Phillips has a tough deal. But the good news is that the conference had a pretty good year, big picture, in terms of national championships, which he pointed out. As far as the football thing goes, I mean, I think it's pretty simple in the sense of, well, we talk about, yeah, it's a money grab, and can the ACC ever catch the SEC in the Big Ten? I don't know if they ever will from that perspective. That'll be a lot will be dependent on what Notre Dame does and what ESPN does, because if you discount television here, you're a fool. They're going to have a front row seat and have their hand in the cookie jar. But quite frankly, what the ACC needs to do, priority one, is win games. I mean, really, with the exception of Clemson in recent memory, can you think of any other ACC teams that have consistently won the big game in the regular season? The answer is no.
None.
And so, you know, you're sitting here in Raleigh, North Carolina. This should be a magical year, I think, for Dave Dorn and NC State. Everything's in place for them to not only be a factor in the ACC race, but from a national perspective. And, you know, I think Clemson will still be that. But, hey, we got to get Miami. You got to get Florida State. You got to get Virginia Tech. If you could sprinkle in a North Carolina or a Pitt or anybody else that's in the mood, Wake Forest, and they can become a solid top 25 team, if not better, that's what the league is missing. We've had Clemson, but we've really not had anybody to join them. And that needs to happen ASAP for the league, big picture.
Mark Packer is joining us here on the Adam Gold Show. I've been harping about this, not just for the last month, 2 months, but really the last few years. If you go back to each time the ACC negotiated a TV package, it's been one team that has been driving the league. At one point, it was Florida State, and it wasn't Florida State and the Eight Dwarfs at the time that they negotiated the package, but it was Florida State, and there really wasn't anybody great beyond that. Then it was Clemson, like you mentioned it, the brands that play football, Miami, Florida State, they can't be mediocre to poor, which is basically what they've been. Because Miami is one of the great TV properties. They're a little bit like the Cowboys. There are so many fans that will come out of the woodwork if Miami becomes good again.
Well, we even saw that, and you're spot on, Adam. In fact, you remember when Miami joined the league back in 04, all of us in the media at the time, regardless of where you were in the ACC footprint, just assumed, that means we're going to have Miami, Florida State, and the ACC football title game every single year. That's why we put Miami over there in the Coastal, Florida State to the Atlantic. And here we are getting ready to kick off the 22 season, and we've never seen the game. As a matter of fact, not only have we not seen that game, we've only seen Miami in the championship game once, and that was, 5 years ago? Mark Richt got them off to a roll, and remember, that was a team that was like 10-0, and everybody was talking about the U is back, and they go up to Pittsburgh, they stumble, they rolled into Charlotte and got rolled by Dabo and his guys. So we really haven't had the U experience, but, you know, hopefully Mario Cristobal can turn that around. And you mentioned the TV negotiations with Florida State and then Clemson. You know, also keep in mind Virginia Tech with Frank Beamer had the great run during that BCS era. But we also saw at the time Florida State kind of diminished with Bobby Bowden's departure, and Clemson really couldn't find themselves with Tommy Bowden. They were wildly inconsistent. So there was always seemingly one team of note, but we really haven't been able to take advantage of multiple. The ironic twist to all of this is we did 2 years ago with COVID, when Notre Dame was a football member for one particular year. And obviously the Notre Dame-Clemson games were the two most watched college football games that particular year. That was number one and number two in most watched games. So the league desperately needs others to join as far as pick up the pieces and let's go. And that's why I think there is pressure on the brands, Miami, Florida State, Virginia Tech in particular. Now I think it's a pressure on Dave Dorn and NC State this year to say, hey, guess what? Throw us into the mix. We'll join in with Clemson and Wake Forest or anybody else that's in the mix.
You know, for a program like NC State, and you could go to any program that is really in the middle of the pack of your conference, and that's, I'm not, again, not using that as a negative, but that's really where NC State is. When you have your opportunities, man, you have to go take advantage of it. They have the schedule that is built for a 4-0 start, which almost makes them their trip to Clemson. Now, I'm not assuming they're going to be 4-0, but they should be 4-0. And then you get week 5 at Clemson with maybe the biggest game of the Dave Dorn era.
Without question. And I'd even go back to the kind of games I'm talking about in terms of, hey, it's time for the narrative change. The only way you change the narrative is to win games that matter. And I felt like last year with NC State, when they went to Mississippi State, and not that Mississippi State is an all-world team. They're not.
Right.
But what it was an SEC team on the road. And you just didn't get the effort and performance where you said, hey, that's a good-looking club. In fact, you got the exact opposite out of that. And that is, what in the world happened, man? The opening kickoff, that thing was over. And I thought there was kind of a cloud over NC State for, in some respects, until they knocked off Clemson. Some people said, oh, yeah, but they still lost to Mississippi State. So, you know, those are the kind of games that the league has to start winning. And the good news is, when you look down schedules, at least as we sit here in late July, there are multiple opportunities for the league to make an impression. But it's one thing to schedule. It's another thing to start winning those games. And the conference desperately needs to start winning those games.
Yeah, Mark Packer is joining us. Your old partner, Wes Durham, sat down with us yesterday, and he just went through the list. I mean, Miami's trip to Texas A&M, Florida State's game with LSU. He's like, we don't need a slip up in Boone, North Carolina going there. I don't even know how much North Carolina, if they're favored, it ain't going to be more than a field goal, I don't think.
Well, it's funny. Max sat down with us yesterday before we got on the air. We were talking about that game. I said, and Mac was said, you know, I went up and played golf up in Boone. I said, dude, I bet they have circled that as a Super Bowl with North Carolina coming up there. And regardless if you think North Carolina is a top 10 team like they were last year this time, or if you think, hey, that is a big – that is one of those perception games. And anybody that's followed Appalachian State knows about their football tradition and their history. They are – hey, they've made the commitment to – jumping in big boy football. They have done well in that department, and that will be a big game. And, you know, even NC State's opener at East Carolina is the kind of game that if you're NC State, and I don't know where NC State will be in the preseason top 25 in the AP poll. If they're in the, they're going to be in the neighborhood of the top 15, top 10 for sure. You got to figure. It's the kind of game that if you are a legit top 10, top 15 team, that's the kind of game you go on the road. Dowdy Ficklin, they'll be fired up. They'll circle the calendar, and you just go kick their rear end if you're one of those kind of teams, right? I mean, that can't be one of those games in the third quarter. You look up the scoreboard, it's 21-17. You're like, yikes, this is a problem. Those are the perception games. So, again, that's what the conference has to do. Before you start worrying about money grabs and how do you catch the SEC and the Big Ten in money, on the field, you got to be able to win those games. And I think the good news for the ACC is, for the second consecutive year, it will be, without a debate, the best quarterback league in the country. This conference is loaded at quarterbacks. So the good news is you at least got guys under center who can make plays across the board in the conference, and that's a good thing.
Can you tell us who you voted for first-team quarterback?
I can, because I did not vote.
Oh.
I did not vote. And the reason I did that is because I've never voted on any of that stuff. I mean, the reason for it is I like to go on the air and just give an opinion. Because I think if I had a preconceived notion that that Devin Leary is the ACC Player of the Year or quarterback, you have Sam Hartman or Brennan Armstrong, and you pick one, Malik Cunningham, there's so many to pick from.
Yeah.
I don't want to have a preconceived thought in my head that, hey, I can't dog this guy because he had a bad game or – got outshined or whatever, because that was my first pick. So I just kind of said, same thing with the Heisman. I refuse to vote for the Heisman, too. They've asked me 1,000 times. I'm like, no, forget that. So I just go in here and let it rip. Whatever I see is what I tell you about, so I don't even worry about all that stuff.
So,
but man, that's a tough call, though.
It is.
Really tough.
You know, you mentioned Cunningham. You got Phil Jakovich at Boston College.
Right.
Armstrong at Virginia. Leary. I mean, DJU might come back and be something, or the other guy. Right.
Well, you know what? The guy at Miami, Tyler Van Dyke, might be better than all of them. I mean, you know, you just – this league at quarterback, there's not another conference that's even close from a quarterback talent standpoint as far as depth and just pure numbers of dudes who can really, really play. So I think if you're a fan of the ACC on any given Saturday, you got a chance to watch some guys really light it up at quarterback. And I think, like I said, that gives you a fighting chance in big games.
Yeah. By the way, Van Dyke was my pick. I love Leary.
I do too.
Yeah. All right. Final thing from Mark Packer. I kind of liked it. I don't know how many people did, and I think we've seen a lot of eye rolls. You think there's room for Commissioner Jim Phillips' idealism in today's college sports?
Sure. But is that at the ultimate, you know, level? I don't know. I just think we're in such a transition period, Adam, that, again, for people old enough like you and me, you kind of want to hug on to that idea, right? That that is what college sports is about. You know, the rah-rah, the fight songs, the game days. I mean, that's kind of what we've all grown up with.
Yep.
But I've also known that, hey, business is business. And when kids coming out of high school are signing seven-figure contracts, that's not what we were used to growing up, coming out of high school and all that stuff. So it's just a different universe, and like a lot of people, I think even hosting shows, whether it be a radio show, TV show, if print, whatever, I think you've had to adjust, even as a media person, of what we're talking about and discussing each and every day. So I'm all for the ideals of where he's coming from, but I also understand the real world is, hey, we're playing for keeps. And when somebody's talking about, hey, you're $200 million behind your arch rival, whether it be the SEC or the Big Ten, how do you get there? Ideals are one thing, but if we're going to start playing the money game, we all are, hey, you got to figure out a way to get there. So I think you can have the best of both worlds, but I think that if you've got to also have the flexibility to understand, I got to move on a dime, much like we have seen with Oklahoma, Texas, USC, and UCLA. You know, they've got ideals of what it's supposed to be about, but at the end of the day, they're looking at the bottom line going, hey, for survival, I got to move. Show me the money. And again, I have said 1,000 times, you want an answer to the question, you follow the money, you'll probably find the answer.
Best to Chester and Fuller and
you got it.
And you, Mark Packer. Hopefully we'll talk very soon. Appreciate your time. Congratulations on the new gig.
Well, and I was going to say, before I leave, congratulations to you.
Oh.
North Carolina Sportscaster of the Year. Very impressive. And just keep up the great work and always appreciate the time.
Hey, thank you very much. I appreciate that. Mark Packer.
You got it, man.
You got it. Take care. Mark Packer, ACC PM, August 22nd, 4 to 7, ACC Network. There's going to be a tour. They're going around all these schools. Man, they're going to have a good time. Adam Gold here from my man, Coach Pete DeRuiter with the Capital Financial Advisory Group. We are talking retirement. All right, Coach, simple. When do we start tax planning in retirement?
We should start as soon as possible, because here's one thing, Adam. Taxes are not going away.
Right.
And so the game here is, we know the rules. A lot of people want to ignore the rules or act like they aren't familiar with them, but the IRS knows the rules. And so when we get to retirement, they're going to reach in and start taking some of their money out of your accounts. So the secret here is to put a force field around as much as possible by strategically moving some of our money to Roth IRA or some of the other vehicles that aren't taxed, like special life insurance policies. You can borrow against your money there and never have to pay tax on your money that you build up inside your cash value. So there are a lot of strategies here. The one strategy that does not work is ignoring it. So let's make sure to not ignore it. The next 10 people will do for you your very own tax and retirement plan that will help you minimize taxation all the way through retirement.
800-661-7383. All you got is call, or you can text Adam to 21000 for Coach Pete DeRuiter. All right, we've reached the half.
Entertainment.
We only put two on the board, really.
Yeah, really one.
Well, we went into a second minute, so.
Sure. We never finished the second minute. It is what it is. So I don't know if you saw this, but a power outage briefly took out the YES Network and other Sinclair regional sports networks off the air.
It took out, like, Sinclair sports networks off
the air? Some of, like, the Sinclair,
Bally's?
Which is Bally.
Okay.
Yeah, they're airing some different stuff, but a power outage took a lot of them off the air.
Well, maybe they legitimately went inside a hurricane.
Maybe they, wow.
I don't know.
Maybe they did. Maybe they did. So if you're watching Bally Sports, a replay of, I don't know, like Miami and Rutgers, some sort of sporting event. Or a Rangers
Seek
game.
Seek help if that's what you're
or
doing.
Or something like that. Well, I think there's actually a lot of the RSNs, like Bally Sports, have different media rights with Major League Baseball teams.
Right.
So if you're watching a game live, you might have missed some of it because of a power outage.
That's why if you're a Major League Baseball team, you should have your own network.
Well.
Like SNY.
Would MLB do that?
So. By the way, come on. Come on, Steve Cohen. Pull the trigger.
Do
it. Trade for Juan Soto. I'm here for that.
ESPN for week one college game day is actually making two stops.
Oh, no.
So they're going to be in Columbus.
Well, the first
on
weekend,
Saturday.
Week one, not week zero.
Yeah, week one.
Week one lasts week one. For like 6 days.
We're going week one. Not only are they going to stop at Columbus on Saturday
for Ohio State versus
somebody.
But
we have the backyard brawl between Pitt and West Virginia.
Ah,
first
that's
time they've
right.
played together in a decade. In a decade.
It used
since
to be one of my favorite
brawl.
Games of the year.
And the schools were like an hour apart,
Man.
If that.
Really used to be one of my favorite games of the year.
So they're bringing that back. That's a Thursday game. So College Game Day is going to be there before heading to Columbus. So look at that. ACC getting love right at the start of the college football season.
Very nice. And where's the second stop? Do we know?
Columbus.
Oh, so they're going to – So
Thursday will be College Game Day at Pitt. Second's going to be Columbus.
Very nice. And let's see who Ohio State is playing, because I don't know who Ohio State is playing.
Do we care who Ohio State is playing?
I mean, for College Game Day purposes, I'll figure it out. Go ahead, move on.
Oh, okay. Oh, you want me to look that up real fast? Notre Dame, actually.
Oh, really?
Oh, look at that. Double dose of ACC football.
Very good. Start off
the season. So, Madden ratings have been coming out sparsely throughout the last week or so.
Yeah.
Now we finally have team ratings. Overall team ratings, Adam, for Madden 23.
All right, let's see. The highest player rating is a 99. Nobody can be a perfect 100, right?
Correct.
Aaron Donald was a 99.
Yes.
Right. So the highest team rating, let me guess the team and the number. The highest team rating will be the Rams, and the highest their rating will be 96.
The Rams at 96?
Yes.
Is that your final answer?
Yes.
Wrong, sir.
Was I wrong on both?
Yes.
The Rams are not the best team?
They're not even number two.
Well, this game is a fraud.
All right, I'll go through 10-1. This is what Madden has 10-1. Number 10, they're the Eagles at 85.
Eagles at 85.
Yes.
Like the Eagles.
And they have 49ers, 86.
All right.
Chiefs, 86.
Wait, Chiefs, 86?
Yes.
Okay.
And the Cowboys, 86.
Wait a second. They have the Chiefs and the Cowboys as the same team.
And the Niners, yep. All three of the
same.
What
did I just say about
rating.
This game?
It's a fraud.
It's a fraud.
It's a fraud.
All right, next. Who's
number six?
Number six?
Chargers, 87.
What the hell? No, get out of here.
I'm dead serious. Number five.
I guess the thought being is that, was it Brandon Staley? He's the coach,
yeah.
Right? That he won't be coaching the Madden team.
Exactly. He's
okay,
not coaching.
Good.
You are in control.
Okay, good.
Now, you have this playbook, but yeah. Number five, Ravens, 87 as well.
Right.
Number four, the Packers at 88.
Okay.
Number three, the Rams at 88.
88?
Yeah.
That seems like a – are they saying that the Rams are a B-plus team?
Basically.
Okay.
The Bills, number two at 89.
I thought about picking the Bills.
Guess who's number one?
The Buccaneers.
Yep.
Get out of here.
At 92.
What a fraud.
92.
What a fraud.
92.
Gosh. What a fraud game.
Get this.
Did Tom Brady set the ratings on this?
Like, probably.
God,
does he set the ratings on everything?
Get out of here.
Isn't everything NFL ratings?
Cowboys and the Chiefs are about the same team.
And the 49ers, all three of them are the same team.
I mean, 49ers could be good.
Yeah, 49ers, yeah, but yeah, Cowboys, though.
I don't think the Cowboys are going to be that good.
No, they shouldn't be.
Whatever. But what? Oh, gosh, what a fraud. Buccaneers' best team.
Now, during the season.
Well, the Buccaneers do play in what is a relatively horse-bleep division. So.
True. Now, something that they actually do during the season is they actually do adjust ratings for teams and players.
Okay, good.
So if a player who's, let's say, is a rookie starts, like, really taking off, like, oh, okay, we obviously rated this guy lower, they can raise his rating. And so there are adjustments that they do make during the year. So it's not like it used to be where once they set that rating, it was just locked in for the game no matter what. That's the advantage of online, I guess you can say, these days. In the world of gaming...
Gaming.
This is a video game. I'm very excited for this.
Weren't we just talking about the world of gaming?
Well, yeah. Well, also in the world of gaming.
Oh, okay.
Well, that was also sports related.
But now, it's still gaming.
True. Yeah, it's true. Okay. Also in the world of gaming. So I mentioned this about a month ago. There's a new Ninja Turtles video game that came out called Shredder's Revenge. I started playing it. It's fantastic. It is a great game, great storyline. But they're actually, as reported by IGN, there's a Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, the Cowabunga Collection, that's going to be released August 30th on PS4, PS5, Xbox One, Series X, Series S, Nintendo Switch, PC, the whole deal. 13 iconic and various retro console games all included in this package. So the original arcade game that came out in the 80s.
Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
Yes, the original right. Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles that came out in the 80s, the original one for NES, the arcade game, Super Nintendo, Sega Genesis, Game Boy, the whole deal.
Really?
Coming out at the end of the end of next month. I'm very much looking forward to this.
What other games are they, do they have coming out?
So 13, so there's...
Frogger?
No. This is all Ninja Turtles.
Oh, okay. Just Ninja Turtles.
This is 13 Ninja Turtle games.
Why do we need 13 different Ninja Turtle
games? Because there have been that many.
Oh, okay.
Because they've been on different consoles, systems.
I'm sorry. I'm not versed. I don't speak gaming.
Get used to it. This is where we are now.
I like Ninja Turtles, though. I used to watch the show.
The cartoon?
Yeah.
Great.
Absolutely.
Love the cartoon.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I didn't watch it. My son watched it.
Yeah.
So I watched it with him.
And I watched it, too.
That's how I used to watch Wildcrats.
Oh, there you go.
Wildcrats is great.
Golly, that's a throwback.
Much better than Bubble Guppies.
Yeah, whatever that is.
No, just don't. Don't watch Bubble Guppies.
You know, Ninja Turtles, still popular and everything, all the properties and stuff nowadays. Pretty impressive for starting off as an independent comic book in the 80s.
it was always going to get back to that, wasn't it?
Just wanted to just point that out. Okay. All started as a comic book based off Daredevil. Imagine that.
All right, Banky.
Hey, just because a guy reads some comics doesn't mean he can't start some stuff. All right, last bit here. San Diego Comic-Con's taking place right now.
Is it?
Yeah, it is.
So are you going to get dressed up?
No.
If Comic-Con was here, would you get dressed up?
Well, GalaxyCon's next week.
Are you going to get dressed up?
No.
Why not?
I just don't do that.
But people will get dressed up,
right?
Oh,
yeah, for sure. Cosplay is a big thing.
Uh-huh.
People make money doing that stuff.
I'm sure they do.
Yeah.
Sure there are websites for them.
I'm sure there are, too. There are actually sections at these large Comic-Cons that actually bring in guest cosplayers, and they do cosplay competitions and stuff. So people get paid and earn money in doing this kind of stuff. Pretty fascinating. But anyway, San Diego Comic-Con's taking place, but the big thing coming out of that is generally Warner Brothers with their DC Comics properties, as well as Disney with their Marvel properties, generally have these big panels and announcements of upcoming projects, film dates, those kinds of things. So it's a very exciting time for people in this culture.
All right, we're good?
Yeah, we're good.
All right, when we
come... You're like, I'm ready to end this discussion.
No. When we come back, I wanted to tease this. When we come back, we are going to place our bets. But before we place our bets...
Oh.
The very best question asked at any conference media day. I am not kidding. Mm-hmm. The best question asked at any conference media day. Then we will place our bets. Next.
Over the crossbar! The Hurricanes have won the Stanley Cup!
June 19, 2006, but it all started May 6, 1997 with the announcement that the Hartford Whalers were coming to North Carolina. It's a story of transition, of heartbreak, of figuring it out on the fly. The Canes Corner look at the 25th anniversary of the move. Presented by the Aluminum Company of North Carolina. Listen now. Find Canes 25th Anniversary wherever you get your podcasts.
I wanted to mention, or I wanted to bring out the best question asked at college football media days. I know the Big Ten's is next week, so if somebody asks a better question than this at the Big Ten media days, we'll give it credit. But we've already had Big 12, ACC, and SEC. This came from SEC media day to Texas A&M head coach Jimbo Fisher. Check this out.
Jimbo, josephgoodmanal.com.
Mm-hmm.
This question comes from someone who transcribes interviews for a living. How do you speak so fast?
You got to get your thoughts out. You want to be here? How long you want to be here? Huh? I think if I talk slow, as much as I get information, I give you lots of information in a short amount of time. I'm a reporter's dream. Daggum. Huh? How could y'all be complaining about that? I could sit here, I'm going to be slow and drawn out. Let me think about it and where we're going, what we're doing. You want me to do all that? Heck, I get you in, I get you out. See, you know what I'm on? I'm just on a limited amount of time I'm used to in coaching. You only get so many hours with a player, this stupid 20-hour rule. Well, you get 1 hour meeting. You got to get as much information in as you can.
Jimbo amused himself. It's the greatest question.
Yeah.
We got to stop asking. What do you think about your left tackle? No, we got to stop asking those questions.
I'm with you.
Right? But that was a great question. So shouts to Joseph Goodman from AL.com. Shouts to him. Shall we place our bets?
Place your bets. Here we are.
I bet you slice into the woods $100.
Gambling is illegal at Bushwood, sir, and I never slide.
Yeah. Okay, you can owe me.
I owe you one.
I didn't do very well yesterday.
No, neither did I.
All right, I'm not going to dwell on it. I've adjusted my total. Did you adjust your total yet?
I did. I only lost 100.
Oh, that's not bad.
Yeah.
Oh, that means you won one. Oh, no, you had
two futures.
Two futures. All right. Okay. I still have to check a score here.
Okay.
Huh. I have, I don't need the score. I just need West Indian batsman, Sahi Hope to be the Windies top batsman. That's all I need.
Okay.
Although I like... You know, in a way, I was thinking about the West Indies to win, but Indy has already gone for 308 runs, and they are done. But 308, I don't think the Windies are going to get to that. So,
okay. I'm going to just take your word on all of that.
Yeah, they're not going to get to that, but that's fine. I don't need them to. I just need Hope to do well. Go ahead.
All right. PLL this weekend.
Of course.
The second day of games. Give me the Archers over the Cannons. Give me the Water Dogs and an upset over the Chrome. Parlay that together plus 215.
So you've got Archers and Water Dogs.
Yes.
Very nice. I like that combination, the Archers-Water Dogs combination. Who's in first place?
Whip Snakes and Atlas are tied. Actually, Atlas, I think because of the head-to-head, might have the advantage.
Do we have strength of schedule? Do we have an RPI?
No, we do not have an RPI.
That's too bad.
We should. I think it's a quad one win for Archers. Really put them. Puts them there at number
Makes
four
sense.
At least.
Makes sense. All right, so I guess it's my turn, right?
It is.
All right, let's. We're gonna go. We have. Who is it? Sweden and who is Sweden playing? Belgium.
Oh, the women's Euro.
Euro. Sweden, Belgium today. All right, Sweden wins, but both teams score. Plus 220.
Okay.
Sweden wins, both teams score, plus 220.
I'd buy that.
I did. I think I did poorly in soccer yesterday.
You may have.
It's another... we'll get over it.
Will we?
I don't know. Maybe not.
Okay. Major League Baseball, Aaron Judge hitting a home run today, plus 200.
You have Aaron Judge hitting a home run today, plus 200.
Yeah.
I have a baseball wager, but I'm going to use a third.
Okay.
All right. And, you know, I meant to tell you this. Earlier today, because there's got to, we used to have the soundbite of Gary Thorne for the Orioles, lamenting a certain player for the Yankees who kept hitting home runs. Right, we used to have that soundbite in the archives. If you can find it, with just that clue.
Oh, here we go. I got you.
All right, just hang on to that. Hang on to that. Okay. I'm going to go with a future for tomorrow's other women's Euro quarterfinal match. With France and the Netherlands. Okay? So this will be tomorrow's match. Give me France to win.
Okay.
And both teams to score at plus 255.
Okay.
I did the same wager in two different games. It's not very exciting.
You parlaying that?
No.
Okay.
No, that's my second wager.
Okay.
France to win and both teams to score. It basically is a parlay. But it's just one wager at plus 255.
Okay. I was actually going to do something France and Netherlands related. I am actually.
Very exciting.
I'm actually going to go on the game line here. Give me France minus a goal and a half plus 200. I think they win this one 3-1.
That would be
we both win.
That would be good for them.
Yeah.
All right, my final wager. You got Gary Thorne queued up? Play it.
I swear to the Lord, you got to put four fingers up when Torres comes to the plate. Because when he comes around third, it's too late.
Gleyber Torres, I think it was 2 years ago, hit like 9 home runs against the Orioles. He has more home runs against the Orioles than he does against any team in Major League Baseball. Now, the Yankees play the Orioles, you know, more than anybody not named the Blue Jays, Red Sox, Rays, but 18 home runs is the most he has against any other team. He's only got 4 home runs against the Rays. He has 18 against the Orioles. So give me Gleyber Torres to hit a home run tonight against the Orioles.
Okay.
At plus 550.
All right.
And I don't even care what the numbers are the next 2 games. I want Gleyber Torres all weekend. Every single, it's not a parlay.
Okay.
3 individual wagers.
So you're making multiple, okay,
Gleyber
all right.
Gleyber Torres all weekend long to hit home runs against the Orioles.
So you're just doing every single game.
Every game. I mean, he's going to hit at least one.
All right, I see what you did there.
Thank you very much.
I see what you. But here's the thing: if he doesn't hit, that's minus 300.
Minus 300. Look, this is why if you're plus 37.25, mm-hmm. you can take these kind of risks.
Yeah,
you can take these kind of risks. I feel a good weekend coming on.
I'm sure you do.
I do. I feel a good weekend coming on.
This is the Adam Gold Show.
Over the crossbar, and the Hurricanes have won the Stanley Cup.
June 19, 2006, but it all started May 6, 1997 with the announcement that the Hartford Whalers were coming to North Carolina. It's a story of transition, of heartbreak, of figuring it out on the fly. The Canes Corner look at the 25th anniversary of the move. Presented by the Aluminum Company of North Carolina. Listen now. Find Canes 25th Anniversary wherever you get your podcasts.